You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, our Australian Open third round coverage continues tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN+. Then it's 9 Eastern on ESPN2. And you'll see Serena continuing her quest for that elusive 24th Grand Slam. You will also see Naomi Osaka and the top seed Novak Djokovic on the men's side. The terrific tennis action coming your way from the other side of the world tonight on ESPN+ and ESPN2. And with that, we continue what is a spirited morning here on Get Up on ESPN. As always, we are live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you by Chase. We have the crew together, and we have a lot to get to. Let's roll the menu for hour number two, because it's time to get up with the wildest water ride ever. And did you hear Buccaneer Bruce making his bold prediction? You won't want to miss ours. It's coming up right off the top. And then it just gets worse. Deshaun digs in. What does it mean for the Texans and every team that wants them? Houston, you have a problem. And then, by popular demand, the video the Cowboys should have made to hype their season and their best player. We've got it. Don't miss it in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now with the Super Bowl champions. And to the victors go the spoils. And boy, were they spoiled yesterday. That's Tom Brady throwing a risky pass. That's a Lombardi trophy going from one boat to another. There was a lot of fun being had in Tampa yesterday. And then there were these comments. Give a listen.
And anybody that says running back, all right, that's Kansas City's. We're going for two. All right, we're going for two, and we ain't stopping.
They've given us all the resources to keep all you guys together and to keep you next year, and we're going to win this thing again, all right?
There's so much about that that I enjoy, to be honest with you. Somehow Bruce Arians being offended by the idea of running it back but preferring going for two, I just think is fascinating. There's so much about that that was interesting. But maybe the most interesting piece of it, of course, is can they run it back? Can they go for two? Can they win it again? And there's a lot of moves they'll have to make. And Jeff Darlington, I'm coming right to you because you opened our show this morning with a fascinating thought that there is, in a world in which a lot of players might be interested in going down there to play with Tom Brady, there's one very high-profile one that might make a lot of sense.
Well, Greeny, we were talking last hour about Odell Beckham Jr. and the relationship here between Tom Brady and Odell. And absolutely, these guys have been close for a number of years and have expressed to each other the desire and eventual wish to play together. That being said, it's interesting because conversations on television spur conversations off TV. And I've been texting some different people in the last hour, and we should just point something out here. Tom Brady loves this team and really likes the idea of keeping them together. So Chris Godwin entering free agency, but ultimately the team has expressed a desire to bring him back. Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, two other pending free agents. I anticipate, based on some of my calls, that these guys will stick around Tampa. So the question when it comes to Odell and whether the Bucs could ultimately try to make a trade for him is what they wind up with on their roster in the next few months. Jason Light was up there like Oprah, just said, you get a car, handing out contracts to everybody. But look, the question is, when it really comes down to it, is Chris Godwin going to take perhaps less money if they're not willing to give him upwards of $20 million? If those things go down, I could certainly see them pursuing a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., who I guarantee you Tom Brady would love to be throwing passes to.
That's fat. And Dominique, I see your face. There are a lot of things that you say when you're celebrating and you're on the water and you're tossing around Lombardi trophies, literally as well as figuratively, and then you get into a room where you're negotiating money and a lot of those conversations change.
Yeah, I mean, I think Godwin's still a relatively young guy. He's not the type of guy who I think is in a position where he can forego a big payday to stick around and win another title. But I do think since the salary cap may constrict, there will be a lot of veteran guys who are going to be underpaid somewhere. So if you're going to be underpaid somewhere, why not be underpaid with Tom Brady down in Tampa Bay in a place where you think that you can win a championship, in a place that it looks like you're having fun? It seems quite clear to me that Tom Brady is the boss down there. He can tell them to do whatever, and they're going to do it. This man threw a Lombardi trophy, the only one that many of those people have ever seen or touched. He threw it across open water, and they were like, this must be the right so thing to do. Tom Brady said do it, so it must be okay. Tom Brady reminds me of what I feel so like when I'm at a party with a bunch of white people. All the dance moves I do, they're like, oh, that must be the move. They start trying to copy it, too. So now they're like, oh, Tom says bring in Odell Beckham. That must be the move. Tom says throw a Super Bowl trophy. That must be the move. Tom says drink until you can't walk straight. I'm going to do it, too.
I like the idea, and I can't really quarrel with the logic in any part of it. Damian Woody, let me come to you. You won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady once upon a time, and now he's got this going. And we've seen what's happening with Odell Beckham. And look, I mean, the reality is the reality. In two seasons together, Baker Mayfield, when targeting Odell Beckham, has thrown six touchdowns to him and eight interceptions. Those are just numbers. They've actually happened. So maybe it's something that would be best for everyone if it were to go that way. What do you think of it, D. Wood?
If I'm Tom Brady, hell yeah, give me that. I'm 43. I'm greedy. I want all the players. Give me all the weapons right now. We saw what happened in New England. You know, at the end of his career, he was throwing to guys that a lot of people never even heard of, and now he gets to Tampa Bay, and they have a basket of riches down there as far as offensive talent is concerned. So, listen, we know the admiration that Odell Beckham Jr. has for Tom Brady. And if this situation plays out, Lord have mercy, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because we don't know what the New Orleans Saints are going to look like post Drew Brees. Boy, it could be something special with Tampa Bay moving forward.
How does it happen? Mike Tannenbaum, take us through all of this. First of all, you're Jason Light. You're standing up there celebrating, and you've just told all of your potential free agents, as Darlington just said, oh, we've got all the resources to bring you all back. And then you want to maybe consider someone like Odell Beckham. How are you going about putting this thing together?
Yeah, well, when you sober up in about 3 or 4 days, which looks like what it's going to take for Jason to do that, you're going to realize that you just made a couple of blank checks to Chris Godwin, to Shaq Barrett. But in all seriousness, what's going to happen is it's going to be a resource allocation standpoint, and you're going to go to Chris Godwin and say, hey, we want to pay you $14 or $15 million a year because Tom Brady took less and everyone's taking a little bit less. And Chris Godwin's going to say, like, I've never been paid. I'm going to need $20 million. Then Jason Light's going to call Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns, and they'll have a conversation. And if I'm Jason Light, I have to strongly consider giving up the 32nd pick in the draft for Odell Beckham, who's going to make a little over $14 million over the next 3 years, and then take those resources and maybe put that into Lavonte David, Ndamukong Suh. It may allow me to keep an extra player or two, but it all starts with Tom Brady, and I think his stature was incredibly high last year, and it's even higher because there's nothing like player-led leadership. And when he put his name on Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, and Leonard Fournette, it all worked out. And what I'm saying is with Odell Beckham, if he does the same play, he'll be able to convince them that it worked the last time, it'll work again this time.
Godwin, by the way, is only 24 years old. Go ahead, Jeff, you have something.
I just want to make a quick point here. I love that we're basically assembling the 2021 Bucks here on this show right now. Tom Brady didn't actually go to Jason Light at the start of the season, interestingly enough, and say, hey, let's go get Odell. The reason I bring it up now, though, is Odell felt far less expendable at the start of this past season than he does right now. So that's why I could just... We're festering this conversation. Maybe we're trying to manifest something here because it'd be so fun. But I will just I just conclude with this point. Tom Brady and Odell do have a really good relationship. And Jason Light has been very clearly amenable to getting creative and making some fun things happen.
Well, let me illustrate just how good that relationship is here, Dominique. And you and I both love to take words very literally. This is what Odell said about Brady in October of 2019. There was speculation that was going on. I was willing and ready to go over there at any point in time. That was always a dream of mine, to play for Tom Brady. I want you to underline the use of the word for. All right, right, Dominique? He's talking about playing for. I never heard him say, I'm playing for Baker Mayfield. That's not what's going on in Cleveland right now. He's playing with Baker Mayfield. He'd be going to Tampa to play for Tom Brady, and I think that distinction could be an important one.
I mean, Tom Brady obviously has a level of respect that is so valuable and carries a lot of weight in locker rooms and in front offices, frankly, around the league. And I think one of the concerns I had about the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl was the continuity. But I realized that all those players have had a 20-year relationship with Tom Brady. They've seen him and they watched him and they trust him and they know him, even though many of them just met him recently. So I think that matters when guys are picking places to go. But the last thing I'll say is I enjoy all of this. This is fun to talk about all these exciting weapons and toys and all that stuff. But let's be honest. They won the Super Bowl because their O-line balled and their D-line balled. And as much as we love receivers and playmakers, running backs, quarterbacks, it always comes down to that. And we got to not forget that the reason why they won this game wasn't because of the stockpile of receivers that they had. And it wasn't because of Tom Brady necessarily being a great quarterback. It was because that D-line was nasty and that O-line wouldn't let him get hit.
That's the second time today you've been here standing up for offensive linemen. Something's going on. I'm going to get to the bottom of what it is. Something's going on with Neek. I don't know what it is. Meanwhile, as we continue, Cowboy fans, they're going to have an issue with what's going on here. They're not going to like what their legendary quarterback Troy Aikman had to say about the situation with Dak. You're going to hear it next. Plus, draft drama. Could this be the riskiest group of quarterback prospects we've ever seen? Those are the questions. We've got the answers. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I don't play the game for money. Never once in my life have I ever touched a football and thought about an individual bank account or what was to come. I play the game because of my love, my passion. Let's go! I control what I control, and the rest, I don't give it too much worry, I don't give it too much thought.
Back this Jerry Jones and your Dallas Cowboys.
From a little boy, I've always imagined being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and I've been blessed to be that, and never imagined wearing anything else.
He always says and does all the right things and plays great, and yet we are where we are. That's the situation with Dak. And here's the legendary Cowboy quarterback who did make this year's hype video, Troy Aikman, saying, "I'd be really surprised if he's playing under the franchise tag again this year. My guess is if he is, that will be the last we see of Dak Prescott." Now, Kirk Cousins is an example of how playing on 2 franchise tags consecutively is the best way to make a lot of money, because he, Kirk Cousins, has made more money than any other football player ever has in any 5-year span over the last 5 years. That said, Jeff Darlington, is there any reason to believe that they will have a deal done this season and that Dak, if he plays for the Cowboys, will not be on the franchise tag again?
Greeny, I mean, we have every reason to think that Dak Prescott will be under a deal, but we have also had every reason the past 2 years to think that Dak Prescott would be under a new deal. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys continue to say that they're going to get this done. We've heard it basically, I mean, besides the past couple of years, we also heard it immediately after Dak Prescott was injured this past season. So the Cowboys continue to say it. We will continue to talk about it. But I think that we all agree here, until that contract is signed, it will be very difficult for any of us to believe it.
Yeah, I mean, Dak is one of those unique people who, when he got hurt and knocked out for the season, it actually increased his leverage. That's usually a player's biggest fear. But Dominique, in this case, the absence, the missing him, even though they had signed probably the best backup quarterback in the league, or so we thought, in Andy Dalton, a guy who's been a starter for a decade, we saw what happened to their offense. It fell off the table. So his leverage has never been greater than it is right now.
Yeah, turkey bacon ain't bacon, as RC taught us a while ago. Dak Prescott is that real deal bacon, and you can't replace it with anybody, at least down there. And I was on HQ yesterday with Bomani Jones, and he reminded me that Dak Prescott was two-time first-team All-SEC and somehow still slid to the fourth round. And then he's played up to the highest level of most of the quarterbacks in this league. He led four scoring drives as a rookie player in the playoffs against the Green Bay Packers. They would have won that game if it wasn't for that incredible throw by Aaron Rodgers. A couple years later, he led a game-winning drive in the playoffs against the Seahawks. All the while, he's been putting up top five numbers in the NFL. And somehow, even though he didn't deserve to be a fourth-round pick, somehow people still talk about him and treat him, specifically in this organization, like he's still a fourth-round pick. No. He is a franchise quarterback, a top-tier quarterback. All the advanced metrics bear it out. The eye test bears it out. And I don't understand what keeps stopping them from doing this. And if he makes it to, or if they franchise him one more time, then there's absolutely no reason for him to come back to Dallas unless he has aspirations of doing play-by-play afterwards. Because if he becomes a true free agent, he can go to, he could take a pay cut and play somewhere else if he wants to be on a well-built team, because the Cowboys aren't that. Or he can go for all the money somewhere else, or he can find some situation where he can get both. What reason is there to come back to Dallas unless he wants to be Tony Romo when he grows up?
They would offer him, they would have to pay him over $50 million to put him on a third franchise tag. So that's not on the list of options. So it's this year and then bust. Damian Woody, what do you think?
You know, I just want to piggyback off of what Neek was just saying. It just blows my mind that they haven't figured this thing out yet. I mean, think about it. You're talking about a guy who's drafting in the fourth round, who replaces Tony Romo, who's revered by not only the organization, but Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones didn't have a problem paying Tony Romo, but here it is, Dak Prescott, with all the success that he's had with the Dallas Cowboys organization, the stats, being able to develop him from a fourth-round pick, and you can't reward Dak Prescott for all that he's done for that organization on the field and off?
It's not even about reward, because he definitely deserves reward. It's also about it's what's best for them. It's not even like giving him a treat for doing a great job. Do it because it's good for you. It's fair and it's right for you going forward. Like, there is no legitimate justification why they've let this get to this point. It just seems like gross mismanagement.
Final word, Jeff.
I mean, are they looking around at the rest and what other teams are going for? Like just sign the guy. Sign the guy.
Am I the only one who sees the irony in the fact that Tony Romo seems to have had an easier time getting a huge contract after retiring than Dak Prescott is right now for the Dallas Cowboys?
I hate salary caps.
I can't be the only one who sees the irony in that. Coming up, speaking of Dak, this was likely the oversight of the year. How did they release a hype video without him? Well, we've got the video they should have done. We've debuted it here. Don't miss it. It's coming up. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we are back, and we were very proud of and very much enjoyed this poster that was making its way around social media yesterday. The first place we saw it was from an account called Travis Bottles on Twitter, in which we have the Kings of Comedy, Dominique. Come on, that's you up there. What do you think?
I mean, I think I look great, but I got to be honest. It took me like 6 looks at this to realize that wasn't Cedric the Entertainer, that was actually our man Marcus Spears. I was like... They kind of look alike. I can say that, Greg. You can't say that.
Hey, man, when I saw this on Twitter yesterday, man, I was going off, man. This is some fine work right here. All of these guys looking like fine gentlemen, and yeah, Marcus Spears, man. I really thought that was the real deal with Marcus Spears right there. So that's some fine piece of work on social media.
More buttons on my suit. I need like
we
eight
love
more
what
buttons,
we've done
though.
With our Wednesdays yeah. here, and we love that poster. Thank you, Travis Bottles, if that's where it began. As we continue, it just gets worse. Deshaun digs in. What does this mean for the Texans and every other team that wants him? Houston, you've got a problem. We'll try and figure it out next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, if you're looking for college hoops tonight, this is your place to see it. You got Iowa State and Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse starting at 7 Eastern time. And then out to the Pac-12 we will go for a good one between Oregon and Arizona State. Good night of college basketball right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, we just wanted to show you some pictures in the celebration yesterday of superstar linebacker Devin White riding a horse. Because why not? That's just part of the celebration there. Devin White taking a horse for a victory lap around the stadium, holding the Lombardi Trophy and riding his horse around. Dominique, in a serious moment, if I were to say to you, the best player on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is Devin White, what would you say to me?
I'd say, Greeny, you're a smart man. You're a good football analyst. I thought you were just a host, but clearly you'd be grinding tape.
That dude is unbelievable, right? He's literally
fantastic.
Everywhere. He's the best. They have a great team. They have a lot of great players. He's the best player on that team.
In an era where people kind of talk about linebackers like they're not important anymore. Like, he's pretty special, and he might make people rethink how important that position is.
Had you won a Super Bowl, Dominique, would you have liked to have ridden around with the Lombardi Trophy on a horse?
Man, I would have liked to have done a lot of things that I can't discuss on this air if I'd have won a Super Bowl, how happy I would have been. I would have filled my body with the devil's nectar and done all types of ridiculous things. But, alas, I didn't, so.
Hopefully not on horseback. Okay, as we continue here, let's get to another guy who's trying to find a way to win a Super Bowl, and so far things have not gone well, and that's Deshaun Watson, who remains unmoved in his desire to be traded from Houston this offseason. Today is a day after Texans president Jamie Rutes resigned from the team after 20 years running their business organization. Here was Adam Schefter with the significance of that on NFL Live.
There are people in that organization, in and around the league, who have questions about the direction of that franchise. Jamie Rutes clearly was one of them. He was a part of the search process that basically blacked him out and discounted and ignored the words of the search firm that the organization paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for, and in the end, went with Nick Caserio. Ultimately, after 20 years with the organization in which he made all their big business decisions, he decided to resign from his post, which I think is a reflection of the way that some people in that organization and some people around the league view that spot right now.
So this is all so strange, and it's certainly the level of toxicity that seems to exist right now with this one NFL franchise. And so, Jeff Darlington, as simply as you can, I'm sure a lot of football fans around the country are just wondering, what the heck is going on there? What is the answer to that question?
I certainly don't have the answer to it. If I did, I always tell my wife, we're trying to rationalize with the irrational. It's an impossibility here. But if we do look at Jack Easterby and just his rise to the position that he's in, like, just consider his resume. This is a guy in 2011, 2012, he was the chaplain of the Kansas City Chiefs. 2013 to 2018, he was the character coach of the New England Patriots. Not until 2019 was he named of the Houston Texans the EVP of team development. So, look, I understand that I'm not suggesting that his rise is ultimately successful, but it is nonetheless impressive. I mean, it is wild that this guy, this doesn't happen in the NFL. And now that he has risen to the point where not only is he essentially in charge of seemingly the entire organization, but he is seeing one exit after another, none of which is the name Jack Easterby.
Well, exactly. And so the bottom line of it is, the one thing he clearly seems to have, at least for those of us observing this from afar, is the ear of the owner. And it has gone so badly at this point, Mike Tannenbaum, that it has led to the most important asset a football team can possibly have. A young star quarterback who's under contract and has impeccable character is so desperate to get out that he's gone to these lengths. So, Tannenbaum, how does this get handled there?
It all goes back to one guy, Cal McNair, and he has to ask himself in an honest, sober way, Greeny, what happened? 6 months ago, he signed a record contract with the same franchise, and as Jeff just alluded to, everyone's gone except for one guy, Jack Easterby. So if I'm Cal McNair, I move on from Jack Easterby, I go see Deshaun Watson where he is with his agent and anybody else that he wants and say, how do we fix this? You're too important, as you said, Greeny. Face of the franchise, impeccable character, top 10 player. It has to work in Houston. He's too important to the franchise. Everybody else is secondary. It's up to Cal McNair to go see him and fix it.
It's just remarkable that a person, I mean, that picture is on our screen. If we didn't put a name next to it, no football fan in America would have any idea who that is. And yet he seems to be the most important person in the entire organization. And it has driven Deshaun Watson to where he is. So from where you sit, Dominique, what do you make of all this?
Yeah, I mean, I think not that Deshaun Watson needed some validation, but the president stepping down kind of gives him the validation that things are going on there, and I think we're going to find out more. But I think it's important for us to be specific about the criticisms that we make of Jack Easterby, because I don't think that it's outrageous that he might be able to do this job given his background. And I think sometimes when people put on blazers and sport coats and wear ties, we assume that their jobs are more complicated than they are. No disrespect, Mike Tannenbaum, but I think that being a GM and running football operations is something that you could learn over the course of a couple years. So I don't think that's the problem.
Kind of like playing cornerback, right?
No, it's entirely different. That is exceptional. You got to be exceptional to do that. Do this other stuff. So his rise is not the problem. We should be clear we should make sure that we're clear about the problem is the moves that have been made since then. Like, those are the decisions that are the issues. Giving an unusual candidate an opportunity doesn't bother me as much as the decisions that he's made since then. And being a cornerback is impossible. I could be a better GM than you could be a cornerback any day of the week.
That's fair. I think to your point is a good one. A meteoric rise is not something we've never seen before. It happens. The reality of it is, when it leads to this, the fact
problem.
That the move has not only not been, what is the opposite of validated? It has been invalidated in every way that something can be invalidated, and yet that's the one decision the owner seems to this point ought to be unwilling to make. We'll leave it there for the moment, but we'll see. This isn't going away until Deshaun Watson is moved. Meantime, there's a lot of other quarterbacks who have a lot of things in mind, and that was yesterday's Todd McShay's 2.0 mock draft came out. It was available right now on ESPN+. We released it for you here, and he's got five quarterbacks, as you see there, going in the first round, including four of a kind, right off the top. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields. If it happens, it would be something that had never happened before, and there are a number of reasons. So, Mike Tannenbaum, you pointed out on the show yesterday that next year does not project to be a year where there are a lot of quarterbacks teams are excited about. So that might explain why they're more desperate, if you will, to go out and try and grab one now. But you were telling me this morning that this is the riskiest group of first-rounders that you can remember seeing. Why is that?
Greeny, just look at them. Zach Wilson from BYU couldn't beat Coastal Carolina and has had multiple injuries already. Trey Lance started one game at North Dakota this year. Justin Fields had a transfer from the University of Georgia to go to Ohio State, and depending on what games you look at, specifically Alabama, he struggled at times this year, and Mac Jones was a one-year starter at Alabama with an all-star cast. So when you look at how you're going to improve your team, All four of those quarterbacks have massive, massive question marks. That's why if you need a quarterback, that's why Carson Wentz is going to be traded probably for at least a first-round pick. And this really reminds me, Greeny, of 3 years ago where we had four quarterbacks go in the top 10, and two of those, Josh Rosen at Arizona and Sam Darnold, unfortunately, Greeny, for you at the Jets, there's already either gone or massive question marks. And I think 3 years from now, we'll look back at 2021, and of those four quarterbacks we just talked about, I think at least two of them, it's reasonable to think, won't be there.
Well, that is the reality of drafting quarterbacks in the first round, as long as there has been a draft. It's about a 50-50 proposition. But, Jeff, what is the sense you're getting is, again, a guy like Todd McShay, he's not just making that up. This is the stuff that he's hearing from people. What is your sense about the way teams are approaching this draft relative to the quarterbacks?
Well, it's interesting because philosophically, obviously, you want to draft a quarterback that's going to be a franchise guy out of the gates because you're going to save on that rookie contract. Like, that has not been lost on teams. But not to keep just hammering away on the Tom Brady thing, but like that also perhaps could open up some eyes of some general managers. I know there's only one Tom Brady, but the idea of still getting that veteran quarterback, this is a trend-based league where teams will say, how can we replicate other situations that are successful? By all means, I think that teams will continue to stretch and push to get that quarterback, move up to picks that probably have no right picking that quarterback at that point. But I just think that each year comes with different sets of circumstances, and every year it feels like at some point we're going to go against what we expect and see some crazy outlandish move by a team. And I don't
Fair
think
enough.
We should put
so
that
let's
out
put some names to that. You're talking
year.
About I get it. You're talking about veterans who could become the again, I'm not to use the phrase the next Tom Brady is a stupid phrase, but a veteran that might go to a team and help them immediately. Who are we talking about? Are we talking about Matt Ryan? We obviously have seen Matt Stafford go from one place to another. What quarterbacks are we talking about?
Well, I mean, even when we think about, look, I understand like the Lions, for instance, they go and get Jared Goff and people think that that's just unloading the contract. But the Lions also look at that situation as possibly like, how can we rekindle magic? Like, that's another trend that we saw last year when it came to Ryan Tannehill. You know, the same thing will happen with Carson Wentz. Matt Stafford going out to L.A., all of a sudden, overnight, he goes from a guy who, with the Detroit Lions, they're completely frustrated that they can't get him over the hump to all of a sudden beating the next Tom Brady. So I just think that there's so often times when teams really just try to rekindle magic, and they go a number of different routes to do exactly that.
Well, Shefty said he could see 18 teams changing quarterbacks during this offseason. If so, we have only just begun that process. Meanwhile, the one that we know, we think with some certainty, is that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the first pick in the draft to Jacksonville. And I can tell you that Trevor Lawrence will hold his pro day this Friday before he undergoes surgery on his non-throwing shoulder. And you can watch coverage of that tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. It'll be on ESPN2 and on the ACC network. All right, coming up, by popular demand, we have the video the Cowboys should have made to hype their season and their best player. You will not want to miss it. It is next. Get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lift every voice and sing.
James Harris was the first African-American quarterback to begin an NFL season as a starter. In 1969, he was drafted by the Buffalo Bills and was seventh on the depth chart to open training camp. But by the beginning of that season, he was named the starter and in 1974 was selected to the Pro Bowl.
And we welcome you back to our studios here at the Seaport. Greeny with you, get up on ESPN. We're with you commercial free for the next, almost 14 minutes as we roll along. And then First Take is coming up at the top of the hour, and they've got a lot to do today. Which team should try to pry Dak Prescott away from the Cowboys? And should Deshaun be worried that he may not be traded? Stephen A., Max, and Molly are coming up top of the hour again. We're commercial-free from now until then here on ESPN, and we're talking about the celebration. You know, they say to the victors, go the spoils. Well, they were certainly spoiled yesterday. Tom Brady, that might have been the best completion of his career. He's tossing the Lombardi Trophy from one boat to another. The celebration was very much on. And if you think Tom Brady didn't have himself some fun yesterday, this was the video that was absolutely everywhere as he was clearly being stumbling and carried. And Tom Brady then posting this on Twitter, noting to see her just little avocado tequila with interesting spots for the capital letters. Everyone had a very good time with that. And as we bring it out to the crew here, I mean, look, good for them. And good for a man who seems never to treat himself, at least to the best of our knowledge, nutritionally speaking or dietarily speaking. Although, D. Wood, I'm told you have a story that might contradict that might not be the first time you've seen Brady stumbling around like that.
Yeah, this was pre-avocado, you know, shakes and all that stuff. This was, I think it was like my third year in the league. We were, as offensive lineman, we used to go out to this hole-in-the-wall barbecue spot, and we're sitting there drinking, playing drinking games, and Tom comes in the spot, you know, starts eating, and then he was like, okay, let's go ahead and get it on right now. Well, I'm sitting there thinking, man, this dude ain't no way he can compete with us big guys like that, because we can hold our own weight. And Tom proceeded to drink everyone under the table, and he walked up out of there, and I'm just like looking, wait, man, what the hell just happened here? Did our young quarterback just drink all of us under the table? And
man's a winner. He's a winner.
I shouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you.
That just is incredible, Dominique. I mean, there are some people, and I mean this in the most respectful way, that it just drives you crazy that they're good at everything, and he just seems to be that person, Dominique.
And the thing about it is that what drives you crazy is the people who just seem to be good at everything also tend to be unlikable. Somehow Tom Brady manages to make me smile. Yesterday, I'm flicking through Twitter, and there's a bunch of garbage on there, and I just can't stop smiling when I'm watching Tom Brady throw the Lombardi, him stumble around, and it's like, how many Lombardis do you have to the point where you just don't care about throwing it over open water, and you can just stumble around and send out tweets that just make me smile. It's impressive that he can be this successful and this likable at the same time. And I'm jealous. I'm not jealous of many people because look at me, why would I be? But Tom Brady makes me a little jealous.
That was well said. The reality, though, is from a football standpoint, the question is, have we seen that for the last time? Or should they prepare the avocado tequila for future championships for Mr. Brady? Jeff Darlington, what can you tell us about the future of the offense in Tampa?
Look, I find it fascinating, too. One of the fascinating elements about this season, toward the end of the year, I had mentioned to Tom something about the offense just getting better and feeling like they were finding their flow, especially when it came to the deep pass. In fact, Hembo sent me some stats that I had sent to Tom. And his response to that was, just wait until next year. And that was before they even wind up winning the Super Bowl. So I think from that standpoint, like, in Tom Brady's mind, as much as this was about the seventh Super Bowl, it's also about the fact that he does really see this team developing. He felt the chemistry with Antonio Brown growing. So he's in a position now, based on a conversation I just had just a little bit ago, where he does want to see this team stay intact and believes that they're very capable of even more next year. Whether that results in a Lombardi Trophy, it's very difficult to do that again. But he believes this offense will be better off next season than it was this last season.
But I think things get a little harder because we were concerned about all the receivers being comfortable to work together. Sacrificing to win your first championship is one thing, but it's going to be a little bit more difficult when you have guys who have won championships and then potentially bring in other weapons. Like, they might have a real sticky sitchy in that locker room. They bring in too many guys and other people are trying to make big plays and they want to get their name in the paper. Like, that happens. I think it's Pat Riley calls it the disease of me. Like, it's something that happens in a lot of places. The Patriots have been able to resist it. I'm not sure if the Bucks can do the same thing, but I don't care. Just get drunk and do fun stuff like this.
But I think that the point that Jeff is making here is they have a receiver, Chris Godwin, who's 24 years old, who becomes a free agent, who has the opportunity to go out there and maybe someone gives him $20 million to come play for their team. There is a possibility they lose some of these pieces. But there will be players out there who will go ring chasing, who will be looking to play with Tom Brady and try and win. And you mentioned earlier today, Jeff, it's gotten a lot of attention for obvious reasons. You mentioned Odell Beckham as a possibility because of the history between him and Brady. So it does make some sense.
Yeah, I mean, the fun part about this now is that nothing feels like it's off limits, right? And they have a relationship. They're two guys who have talked about wanting to play together at some point. Now, can it happen? Obviously, that requires a bunch of pieces to fall into place. But I think what happens here, and Mike Tannenbaum was talking about it earlier in the show, is that you do have a situation now where guys really liked the idea about playing with Tom Brady this year. Of course they do. But then all of a sudden, to prove that it works, and to do so while having a good time. Like, there was always something about the New England Patriots that if you're going to go there and win a championship, it's going to be really, really hard. And I'm not dismissing how hard it is in Tampa, but that looked like a good time yesterday. And I just think that the combination of playing with Tom Brady and having a good time doing it, I mean, what's better than that? And by the way, doing so in Tampa, there's a lot there, man. And to me, it feels like a good place to be.
Yes, you won a champion. You won a Super Bowl in New England, and you're freezing your tuchus off as you're going through the duck boats and everything else. And you weren't throwing Lombardi trophies around on boats yesterday wearing shorts.
That's right.
And that's just the reality of the situation, right, D. Wood?
Man, I had a red mink on, man, when I was when I won my Super Bowl. You know, I was far from being on a damn boat. I was freezing in Boston in a red mink coat. So, listen, I drank, I had a good time, but it's a different story when you're down in that heat in Florida, I can tell you that.
Okay, there is only one thing I want.
You would still be wearing the mink coat, though, even on the boat.
Find it. Find a picture of the red mink.
I'm speaking directly to our staff now.
Don't make me go get the mink coat.
You got it in the house? Go get it.
I got the red mink coat.
Okay, wait a minute. D. Wood, I'm giving you dispensation to do this. I want you to run to whatever closet in your house it is that red mink lives in right now, and I want that on the show. Okay, can you please get that? Disregard the smoke coming out of the house there. Just go grab that mink coat. We want that as we continue. We'll use that as we talk about this next story. This was a day that we were looking forward to here because yesterday, this got all the attention, right? It was the hype video that was all wrong. The Dallas Cowboys were releasing a 32-second video featuring a whole lot of Cowboy legends, some of them from the past, like Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith, some of them from the present, like, I don't know, C.D. Lamb and Ezekiel Elliott. You see all the names of all the people who appear on this, including some you don't even recognize, no matter how big a fan you are of the team. Very notably absent is the name Dak Prescott, and that is because Prescott does not appear anywhere on this video. We pointed that out. It got a lot of attention here over a couple of days. And so Dominique Foxworth, who represents Dak in many ways, certainly at least on this program he does, pointed out to us what that video should have looked like. And we took the liberty of actually making it. So here it is, once again, the Dak video they should have made.
This is an easy hype video to make. You know what you do? You start wearing some cleats, and then you pan slowly up, and you just let the beat play. Guess who's Bizak's playing in the background? You bring it all the way up, and then you lock it on the silhouette of a man. And then light comes on, and it says, guess who's that? 2021. The only other option of a video is maybe you have Dak throwing the ball and the ball is actually Dak's head to another guy who looks like Dak catching the ball. And then I want the camera to go in on the middle of the field where the star is. No, not a star. It's Dak Prescott's face.
Dominique, it's well done. It is well done, and it actually illustrates a reasonably serious point, which is that the biggest star on the team that wears the star is Dak Prescott. And the idea that he's not there, Ryan Clark said it. It may not have been an intentional omission, but they certainly didn't make a point of making sure he's in the video, which is why yours works better.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that it's not an intentional omission, but it had to go through some people before it got published. And I don't understand how anyone in that, I could understand maybe one person making a mistake thinking, oh, well, he didn't play much last year, even though he was still like the leading passer in the NFL until like midseason. He didn't play much last year, so maybe we don't put him in the video. But the first person who looks at this should say, where's my quarterback? Like, I can't imagine a hype video. Even teams with bad quarterbacks put their freaking quarterback in the hype video. Like, I don't understand how everyone in there who saw this didn't think, hey, can we just show the number 4? Can we get a little flash of Dak's face? Because if you're using this to sell tickets, what's going to excite people to buy season tickets more? A bunch of people who they don't recognize or the best quarterback that they've had since Tony Romo.
Correct. And you can't help but look at it and say, well, maybe they just don't expect him to be on the team. So let me bring the rest of the crew into the conversation here as we got there. Okay. It's everything that we were hoping it would be and more. You probably don't have the ability to play. There we go. That's it. D-Wood, if we can get your perspective on this video that we just showed while you wear that sensational red mink coat, it would be wonderful.
Greeny, how in the world the most prestigious position in American team sports, how in the world could you forget that guy? This is not an intentional act. This wasn't an accident by the Dallas Cowboys by omitting Dak Prescott. Now, see, if Dak was wearing one of these, you best believe Jerry Jones would have signed off on that contract by now. Please believe it. Even in Big D.
If we could get you a gold chain and you to take your shirt off, I will buy your album today. Yes. We just need a topless gold chain with
Biggie
a mink.
Smalls
I'm buying your album
back,
today.
And by the way, that would still work in Florida on a boat in Tampa. Like, no shirt, mink coat, gold chain on a boat.
Like,
oh, I would have done
that.
Oh, Jeff, I
like
where
your hands at, Jeff.
D-Wood, can I ask a question? So you bought that for the championship celebration. Have you gotten a lot of use out of it since then? I mean, it's been about 20 years. How often do we break that one out?
We haven't worn this in some years, man. It's been quite a while, but I always keep it nearby just in case I need to stunt on the show a little bit.
Yes, I am fascinated by fashion. And I do wonder, Dominique, what is the appropriate occasion to which one wears that jacket? Like, where is it I'm going that I'm wearing
that? No. It doesn't matter the occasion. When you're somebody who wears a red mink, every occasion is the right occasion for a damn red mink. If you got the confidence, the gravitas, the ego to stunt on these haters in a red mink, you wear that thing to church. You wear it to the grocery store. You wear it to get up. You wear it to drop your kids off at school with a do-rag on if you want to.
Oh, okay. See, I had the do-rag too, Dominique.
I'm sorry I had to explain that to you. Too. Oh, okay. Absolutely. I love you, D-Wood. I love it.
I'm going to do the best I can that we have left to ask an actual football question of Jeff Darlington, which is, how does this play out with Dak Prescott now? I mean, the franchise deadline is coming up here. That sign and trade possibilities continue to exist. I got 30 seconds. What happens?
Look, if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm still eyeing Kirk Cousins and what he pulled off, because he made a boatload of money and continues to make a boatload of money. At some point, he's got to look at this and say, you know what? I love the Dallas Cowboys. I can make a bunch of money there. But at the same time, if they want to franchise tag me again and I'm going to play again under that, then I'm going to go make money elsewhere, and it will not be for the star.
Okay. That is outstanding insight, and that is what our program tries to do every single day. We bring you outstanding insight, and we bring you Damian Woody in a red mink. Thank you so very much for getting up with us today. That is outstanding. First Take continues next here on ESPN. I'm going over to ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. Have a great day.